Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I'm here now with Vice President of the United States and RuPaul's Drag Race Season 3 finalist, Mike Pence. Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Mr. Vice President, we are currently in the midst of the longest government shutdown in history as the president continues to fight for his border wall. Well, it was a wall, and then it was a fence, I think, and then it was steel slats. So what are we calling it today? Two folding chairs and a bike lock?
The president said, we'll build a steel barrier.
Mm-hmm. And what do you say to critics speculating that Donald Trump's actions are selfish, immoral, impulsive, and politically motivated?
Well, look, the American people aren't as concerned about the political debate as they are concerned about what's really happening at the border.
Well, is it really as bad as he says?
Last year alone, 17,000 individuals with criminal histories were apprehended at our southern border.
Why not hire them as senior White House officials? They'll all be convicted eventually.
Democrats refuse to even negotiate.
Well, until this gets sorted out, hundreds of thousands of federal workers will go without paychecks, and he doesn't seem to care.
That's right.
I guess, why should he, though, right? I mean, after all,
he's got money in the bank. He's got spray tan on his face. He's got baseless facts and figures, which he figures please his base. He's got golf at Mar-a-Lago and a ton of Adderall. What ain't he got? A border wall.
That's right.
He gets angry, he gets tough, he gets up and leaves the room. He gets all the Egg McMuffins he can humanly consume. He's a toddler, and until he gets his way, he'll make a fuss. And who's gonna pay? Most likely us.
That's right.
Whether it's a concrete wall, steel slats, or a few decorative brass poles, there is nothing like an unnecessary 2,000-mile barrier that says, hey, look at us, world, we're a bunch of motherfucking assholes.
See what I did there?
There is nothing like a wall. Nothing in the world. Nothing's as impractical as a beautiful border wall.
My fellow Americans.
He gets badgered, he gets booed, he gets heckled coast to coast. He gets Valentine's from Putin and advice from Hitler's ghost. He gets labeled irresponsible, inhuman, and unfit. What can't he get? Girl, he can't get shit. When it comes to behaving like a rational adult, he finds nothing duller. There is nothing whatsoever like a totally manufactured national emergency to distract everyone from what's actually on his mind, which is, you guessed it, Robert. I just love the way it feels in my mouth.
There is nothing like a wall. Nothing in the world
could distract from Mike and Paul.
Like his rhetoric about a wall.
Stop the criminal gangs.
Nothing else would be so tall. Nothing in the world.
That's right.
Sarah, Donald Trump told us that Mexico would pay for the wall, but now he's saying he never meant they would pay up front and that they'll instead pay in 263 million easy installments of 1995.
You know, we'll see what happens, but the president is committed to making sure that one way or another, whether it's through...
He holds rallies just for fun. He has merchandise for sale. He gets only the best people till they quit or go to jail. He's got Rudy Giuliani. He's got high cholesterol. What ain't he got? A goddamn wall.
There is nothing like a wall. Nothing in the world.
that's his wall.
This is a humanitarian crisis.
Nothing protects like a wall.
Mexico's going to pay for the wall.
War deflects like a wall.
A bona fide emergency.
Can't save face like a wall.
Donald Trump has to build the wall.
War pleases face like a wall.
Build the wall.
Nothing acts like a wall.
Except maybe Melania.
War distracts like a wall.
And the Russia investigation.
And not a thing will work for Nancy and Chuck.
Mexico's going to pay for the wall.
Yeah, right. All right. Just when we need him, he surfaces with another video. Randy Rainbow, yeah, it came out over the weekend. And I was like, but I don't do a show on Mondays. But that's okay, because it was a good way to start today. And boy, I needed it. Welcome to it. So, Randy Rainbow is hilarious. And for those who are wondering, that is his real name. It's really Randy Rainbow. He's actually from here in South Florida, though. He lives out, I guess, in LA. He produces those videos by himself and is someone who works by herself. I can tell you that's hard. Anyway, welcome to a Tuesday. It is the first day of confirmation hearings on Bill Burr, who really is, I don't know, just exactly what you'd expect out of somebody that Donald Trump nominates as Attorney General. I got nothing for you today, so we're just going to launch into what's news and then come back with Gotta Laugh next.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Tuesday marks the 25th day of the government shutdown, but no negotiations on a way out are even scheduled. Nancy Pelosi will bring another round of funding measures to the floor this week that propose to temporarily reopen the government. Neither of the bills expected to pass the House will include additional resources for a border wall. The president has said repeatedly he will veto any measures that don't include billions of dollars more to construct a wall or barrier at the U.S. border with Mexico. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he won't even bring such bills to the floor for a vote if Donald Trump won't sign them. William Barr, Trump's pick to be the next attorney general, will appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee Tuesday, the first step in his confirmation process. In his opening remarks, Barr addresses the past criticism of the special counsel investigation and makes the case that he has no plans to interfere in the investigation. From his prepared remarks, quote, "The country needs a credible resolution of these issues. If confirmed, I will not permit partisan politics, personal interests, or any other improper consideration to interfere with this or any other investigation." End quote.
President Trump's Attorney General nominee, William Barr, says tonight it's important to let Robert Mueller complete his work, adding, "The country needs a credible resolution of these issues." Barr is also sure to get questions about the revelation that the FBI opened a counterintelligence investigation of President Trump in 2017 after he fired FBI Director James Comey to see if the president was secretly working with Russia. One factor was his comment to Russian officials the next day that the firing took away great pressure because of Russia. Another was what he told Lester about firing Comey.
When I decided to just do it, I said to myself, I said, you know, this Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story.
The FBI's action followed an internal debate but overlapped with its investigation of possible obstruction of justice.
Whether it's a criminal investigation or a counterintelligence investigation.
Mueller took over the investigation several days later, and nothing made public has ever said the president took direction from the Russians. Today, he said the investigation was started by FBI people who have been fired and were out to get him. As for Barr, he says it's important that Congress and the public are informed of the results of Mueller's investigation. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
Meanwhile, the Fourth Estate was busy over the weekend with two blockbuster news reports about Trump and Russia. In the first one, the New York Times reported that the FBI launched a counterintelligence investigation into whether the president was working on behalf of Russia after Trump fired FBI Director James Comey. Trump denied that allegation in remarks to reporters on Monday.
I never worked for Russia, and you know that answer better than anybody. I never worked for Russia. Not only did I never work for Russia, I think it's a disgrace that you even asked that question, because it's a whole big fat hoax. It's just a hoax.
Yes, that is the 72-year-old president calling it a, quote, big fat hoax. what is he, 8? The second story comes from the Washington Post and alleges that Trump took measures to conceal details about a meeting he had with Russian President Vladimir Putin, including the confiscation of notes from an official U.S. interpreter who was present. Democratic leaders in the House are debating whether to subpoena the interpreter, as well as a range of other actions, as they use their new majority to ramp up oversight of the president. From the "What Took You So Long" files, House Republican leaders have finally moved to strip Steve King of his committee assignments over his comments about white nationalism.
I regret the heartburn that has poured forth upon this Congress and this country, and especially in my state.
That's as close as Iowa Congressman Steve King came to apologizing today for comments being called abhorrent, racist, and reckless by members of his own party. In a New York Times interview published Thursday, the Republican lawmaker asked, "White nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive?" Facing a growing backlash, today King took to the House floor to explain himself.
"Under any fair political definition, I am simply an American nationalist. This conviction does not make me a white nationalist or a white supremacist."
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, the only black Republican in the Senate, calling out King. Writing in the Washington Post, "Some in our party wonder why Republicans are constantly accused of racism. It is because of our silence when things like this are said." House Speaker Nancy Pelosi condemning King's comments too.
"He said terrible things. Terrible things have been said by other people in this administration.
I've been in a bigger fight than this one."
King already has two primary challengers, one of whom told the Des Moines Register yesterday, "I won't embarrass the state." Garrett Hake, NBC News, the Capitol.
It's D-Day for Brexit. UK lawmakers vote Tuesday on Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal that was negotiated with the European Union. If it passes, that's the last big hurdle before the UK leaves the EU in March. If it fails, well, no one really knows what happens. Stay tuned. And finally, the second largest school district in the country is on strike. United Teachers Los Angeles walked out on Monday for the first time in 30 years. The teachers are demanding a 6.5% salary increase, smaller class sizes, and a greater commitment to investment in public education. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
These are the sounds of crushed souls, the sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Okay, yes, I'm hitting the wrong button here. Every Tuesday, we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, talk about what's going on in the news. First, we got to get her on the line. Hello?
Well, yes, you've reached the upside to the McConnell-Trump shutdown hotline.
Okay.
Yeah. Press 1 if you think the upside to no paychecks is Trump's employees won't care because he stiffs them anyway.
Yes, he does.
He do. Press 2 if you think no FDA food inspections are a good thing, because you can think of it as a diet aid.
Let's all get sick and die. Hey.
Yes, exactly.
I'm ready.
Press 3 if you think the upside to TSA inspectors calling in sick is no more official government groping.
Right, except there's more. You just have to wait longer online till you get groped.
Have a nice day.
Oh,
I have so much from today. You want to just go for it?
Sure, let's do it here.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right, so well, today is it's Barr, not Burr. Bill Burr, I guess, is a comedian or something. For some reason, I keep thinking Bill Burr. I could only watch in bits and pieces today. He's exactly what I expected from somebody that Donald Trump would nominate to be Attorney General.
Horrible. Worse than I thought.
Just an really idiot. Worse. I mean, this, I got to say, as I said, I didn't watch much of it, but I caught this exchange with Dianne Feinstein, and I'm going to play, it's about 40 seconds long, when he admits he has no idea what the emoluments clause is. There, seriously.
Including the emoluments clause of Constitution.
I think there's a dispute as to what the emoluments clause relates to.
No, there isn't.
I have not personally researched the emoluments clause.
Because you're a fucking idiot.
I can't even tell you what it says at this point.
Then you don't deserve to be Attorney General.
Off the top of my head, I would have said, well, emoluments are essentially a stipend attached to some office. But
wrong.
I don't know if that's correct or not. But I'm sure.
Oh my God.
I think it's being litigated right now.
Oh, my God. That should have had him dismissed right there.
Exactly.
Right,
I think
there.
I may even have a tweet to that effect.
Oh,
just
my
awful.
God. So that I tune it in and that's what I see?
Yeah, that's about what it was like. I tried to get as many tweets up as I could to sort of document what was happening. If we get repetitive, I apologize because I have so many up there. I couldn't keep track of what I put up. But anyway, before we get into that, just a couple of other ones.
Okay.
NBC.
Yes.
Not MSNBC.
I know exactly where you're going and already. Fuck NBC. Just had to get that out. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. NBC News Standards sent guidance to staffers, telling them not to call Steve King's comments racist, but instead that reporters should say what many are calling racist or something like that. Now, MSNBC did not adhere to that. They went right ahead and called him racist. So kudos to them for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have the tweet in front of me, but I did read that NBC on-air personalities were indeed adhering to it.
Oh, my God.
Using all kinds of euphemisms.
Yes.
It was so disgusting.
Not allowed to say that Steve King is a racist, even though he proved that indisputably.
Indisputably. And Rachel Maddow did a segment on him basically falling in line with Pat Buchanan, and then Trump falling in line with both of them. And so she lumped them all together, which was a really, really good way to do it, so people could kind of grasp the history of this. But yeah, this sucks. Anyway, moving on. Spitspot. Chris Christie. This is from The Guardian. Chris Christie accuses Jared Kushner of political hit job and explosive new book. Kushner's role in his sacking was confirmed to him by Steve Bannon. I have a few little quotes. Quote, once he had been tossed overboard, the new transition team led by Vice President-elect Mike Pence had a, quote, thrown together approach that led to appalling choices of senior personnel over and over again. Christie was ditched by a young man who made it his business to discredit and denounce him because of what he had done to his father. The kid's been taking an axe to your head with the boss ever since I got here, Bannon confessed at Christie's dismissal. And I've got four more of these. Kushner badmouthed him to Trump in April 2016, pleading with his father-in-law not to make Christie transition chairman. Remarkably, he did so while Christie was in the room. Quote, he implied I had acted unethically and inappropriately, but didn't state one fact to back that up. By the way, I'm not sympathizing with Christie here. I just think this is a riot. Next one, Trump told Christie he had to lose weight. Quote, addressing him like contestants in Miss Universe, Trump said, you got to look better to be able to win in politics. Trump, during the presidential campaign, exhorting Christie to wear a longer tie as it would make him look thinner.
That's why he wears his tie so long, because he thinks it makes him look thinner. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. And the last one I put out there was, according to Christie, Kushner thought firing Flynn would end talks of links between the Trump campaign and Russia. It did not. And that firing Comey would not provoke, quote, an enormous shitstorm in Washington. It did.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so that's the end of that.
I'm still stuck on Chris Christie has a book.
Yes.
Who's going to read it? Who's going to buy it?
Oh, I don't know. God. It'll get on TV for a while, but it got completely overshadowed by what's been going on in the news so far. So, and just as a topper here, as a little like punchline, Alt-NSA account said, the son of one failure talks shit on the failure of a son-in-law of the failure in the White House based on yet another failure's claims.
Okay.
It was just funny. I loved it. Here's another little item. Former Senator McCaskill makes post-Congress debut. She's been hired by MSNBC and NBC.
Yeah, I know. I woke up to her face on my television this morning. It quickly turned off.
Yeah, she was on. And then meanwhile, no, you feel better because CNN got Kasich.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they hired Kasich. Thank God MSNBC didn't, because they use him a lot, and he's now going to be on with CNN. So I'd rather, if you have to choose, choose McCaskill.
No, but choose neither one, frankly.
Neither one is
the more they put these has-beens on. And MSNBC does it with, you know, David Jolly and Sean
and Andy Card.
Andy Card at least was a White House chief of staff, but they've got these one-term backbench Republican congressmen, like their opinion means anything. Like,
no, what they do is they take the never Trumpers. That's what they do. And and the stupid part of that is you're listening to Republicans.
Yeah.
The nice part is they bash Trump a lot.
Well,
so
that's fine. They couldn't find like a former one-term Democratic congressperson. I mean, it's all Republicans. Like, who gives a shit about David Jolly or Carlos Curbelo or these people who never did anything in their lives except they were Republicans and they went against Trump?
I know. I'm right there with you. Yeah. Here's something that's good. Want some good news?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to give you the news, and then I'm going to give you LOL GOP's comment because it was funny.
Okay.
Christina Wilkie of CNBC said, breaking, federal court blocks citizenship question from 2020 census.
Yes.
Quote, the evidence is clear that Secretary Ross's rationale, was pretextual. The court cannot sustain agency action founded on a pretextual or sham justification that conceals the true basis for the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then LOL GOP said, federal judge, this is just some birther crap. So he was giving his fake federal judge quote.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard when you're not seeing it.
So the good news is, again, a federal judge ruled against this bullshit citizenship question on the 2020 census. I'm sure it'll be appealed. Yep.
Says
case likely headed to the Supreme Court. But at least it's one on, you know, the good people side.
Yeah. We just needed a little shot in the arm on that one. That was a very scary proposal or whatever that is, or, you know, policy, and they shot it down for now. Now we're onto the Barr stuff. I've got a whole bunch of these, so hang on. Aaron Blake of the Washington Post, I have two summaries coming up and then a third one way down the line. Here's one summary. What Barr has said: one, more Clinton probes needed. Two, Uranium One more worthy of probe than collusion. Three, Comey firing A-okay. Four, Mueller team's donations too left-leaning. Five, okay for presidents to request specific investigations. And six, Mueller's obstruction probe fatally misconceived. That's one.
Okay.
Then here's another one from Steve Goldstein with MarketWatch. Barr so far. Sessions probably right to recuse. Not a witch hunt. Illegal to pardon someone who would incriminate the president. Won't correct Mueller report. Doesn't see any plausible way he'd curtail Mueller probe. There's more on this later, by the way. That's just his take.
All right.
Okay. Katie Watson of CBS News said, Bill Barr, a decades-long friend of Robert Mueller, refers to the special counsel on a first-name basis. On my watch, this is a quote, on my watch, Bob will be allowed to finish his work, unquote. So just noting that they're friends, that people were wondering about that.
Yep.
Then Mike Levine of ABC said, just noting, in Bill Barr's prepared remarks released yesterday, he referred to Russian interference in the election. But in person today, he referred instead to Russian attempts to interfere in the election. And I think I make note of this in later tweets, but he did this a lot. Oh, what had happened? I just shrunk this down by What did I just do? I hope everything's good. I thought I clicked on something I shouldn't have. Oh God, that would have ruined everything. Anyway, he kept correcting himself and making it like, well, they attempted to interfere, but he wouldn't say they really did interfere. So that was a little interesting distinction.
Okay.
So Hegemommy, that's who his, she's a journalist and a SCOTUS whisperer, she says, a civil rights and courts reporter for Rewire News. Anyway, okay. She's really good at distilling things down, just like our friend Marcy Wheeler is. So Marcy Wheeler recommended people follow her. So I have a bunch from her and Marcy.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, Graham opens questions and wants Barr to look into the FBI for opening a counterintelligence investigation against Trump related to Russia. LOL, Lindsay, you sound like a compromised man. She just loved going after Lindsay. That was a little fun one.
Okay.
A little color.
Right. Going after Lindsay is always worthwhile.
Always. Oh, she did that a lot. I mean, I have so many here, but there are so many I didn't give you guys. But anyway, she also said, Feinstein also gives Barr side eye for his comments that he drafted this big, long memo despite not having the full facts of the investigation. Barr says he doesn't recall getting any confidential information related to the investigation, which is another important clarification. And I pointed out, doesn't recall getting any confidential information on the investigation. So it's my impression and a lot of other people's impressions that he's full of shit, basically.
Okay.
He's just saying things.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. It's he had this job, what, 20 some odd years ago? And it sounds like he hasn't cracked a law book since. He has no clue what's going on. He is so totally unqualified for this job that he's just there. Because he had it 20 some odd years ago doesn't make him qualified to hold it today.
Exactly. And it also sounds like he hasn't watched TV in 30 years. I mean, he's just saying things without knowing anything.
Yeah, that he doesn't know what the emoluments clause is should be disqualifying right there.
Right there. Yep. She goes on to say, Barr says he will make as much info available as he can in the Mueller investigation, subject to the rules and regulations governing the special counsel investigation. So that's not a full yes, folks.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
He was dancing around a lot. And whenever anybody got, you know, like I was watching Kamala Harris try to nail him down on the recusal thing, which I think I cover, you know, at the end here, he wouldn't. Who was the other one? Blumenthal also tried to nail him down on some stuff. He wouldn't. He couldn't. They were going in circles. Well, I don't know yet. Well, I have to say, well, this is the, you know, and he couldn't, he kept trying to get specific and Barr would not answer a specific question on a number of issues. It was really frustrating. Hegemommy goes on to say, Barr says he doesn't even really know what emoluments are, thinks there might be a litigation around it. This is kind of amazing non-prep, which suggests the GOP wants no attention paid to the emoluments cases. So
I guess not. I guess not.
That was her take. My impression of him at that point was he stinks, which I was pretty right on. She goes on to say Feinstein turns to Trump interviewing Barr to join his legal defense team in 2017. And then again this spring, Barr, stumbling around these conversations, said the only time he met him was June 2017 before this AG business. He just doesn't know anything, does he?
No.
That's pretty simple
absolutely
stuff.
Nothing. It sounds like Donald Trump read something he wrote or the interview where he said that the Russia investigation's a witch hunt and other bullshit like that, which today he seems to have backed off on.
Yeah.
So Trump said, okay, that's the guy. Without any further vetting, the fact that he obviously is out of practice.
She goes on to say, Barr concedes he did discuss the Mueller investigation with Trump, but nothing substantive. This is what the phrase, sure, Jan, was captured for.
Okay.
Sure, Jan. Yeah. Sure, Jan. She goes on to say, Barr says at the time he didn't think he could take Trump on as a client because he had just taken on a big corporate client and also he was looking forward to some downtime. Totally consistent statement, am I right?
Oh, yes. This is the perfect job for him. Nothing but downtime when you're attorney general.
Especially when you're handling a big corporate case. He contradicted himself completely in that answer. Oh, God. Empty wheel. This is Marcy. Leahy, after reviewing Trump's problems. Rule of law can no longer be guaranteed. Representations you make today, just like Elliot Richardson, matter. Will you consult an ethics person? Barr, under regulations, I make a decision as to my own recusal. I have a lot more on this one, but he won't recuse.
No.
Basically.
No, of course not.
Then Hegemami goes on to say, Barr, really walking back that obstruction memo is something like a no big deal Dear Diary entry. That memo he wrote.
Oh, okay.
On let the president do what he wants.
Uh-huh.
He keeps saying, well, no, it was just really at the time it was on something very narrow. And it was just kind of my impression. And I was just kind of writing out my thoughts. And it was like, that's why she said Dear Diary.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Barr will not. This is me. I just made a note to tell you guys, but he says he won't let Trump's attorneys correct the Mueller report, but nobody believes him on
sure.
that.
Just I don't believe anything he says. He does not come across as very trustworthy.
No. She goes on to say Leahy gets Barr to specifically state that it would be a crime for a president to offer a pardon in exchange for not testifying against the president, which shouldn't be news, but here we are.
Okay.
It happened again.
I love this one. Okay, so Vox just tweeted out a question from Amy Klobuchar to what's his name? Hold on, because now I lost it.
I do have Klobuchar.
Will DOJ jail reporters for doing their job?
Yes, I've got that one. Yep.
And Barr's answer, quote, I can conceive of situations where, as a last resort, where a news organization knows they're putting out stuff that will hurt the country, there could be a situation where someone could be held in contempt. Oh, my fucking God. You know what the answer to that is? Hell no.
That was the one that he should have been disqualified for right there.
Oh, my God.
Barr then from Empty Wheel, I'm not going to do anything I think is wrong, and I won't be bullied into doing anything wrong. And he said he wouldn't be bullied by the president, by the press, or by Congress. That's what he said. He's not going to get – you watch. I'm not going to – no one – I'm tough. Then Elizabeth de la Vega, the prosecutor that you and I have discussed in the past, she said the problem with Barr is not what he would do if Trump asks him to do something he doesn't want to do. The problem with Barr is what he himself has already indicated he wants to do, notwithstanding his public attempts to backpedal. She's a former federal prosecutor, so she looks at things from that perspective. That was the only one I have from her. Robert Arthur, just a person, said, lawyer who doesn't know anything about the Emoluments Clause is suddenly a border expert, because he said, we need a barrier system on the border.
Who said that?
Barr.
Oh, really? Oh, a barrier system. Right. No, he was going on talking about a damn wall again. I mean, he was just, he was echoing Trump's
nonsense. I actually said he equals Trump.
Yep.
Barr equals Trump.
Yep.
But it's funny how he knows nothing about the Emoluments Clause, but he knows all sorts of things about having that wall go up.
Isn't that amazing?
Okay, so the House voted overwhelmingly to rebuke King for making racist comments. Trump's attorney general nominee suggests Mueller's probe report might not be made public. I have that coming up. And in a rare move, the House voted overwhelmingly. Oh, here to condemn.
Right, King. The vote King, was 424-1.
Oh.
I'm actually looking to see who the one was now.
Yeah.
This is not that vote. Okay, hold on. I'm looking for, everything has a number and it's 411-1. That can't be it. I'm looking for the 424-1. Let's see. Nope, 411-7. I can't find which vote this was.
Somebody in chat will do it for us.
Oh, but you know what? It's not even up yet because today's the 14th and the only one from the 14th is a 403-2 vote. So it looks like the House is passing, for instance, this one is called On Motion to Suspend the Rules and Pass Investing in Main Street Act. It doesn't tell you what it is. I know it's H.R. 116, but it doesn't tell you what the bill is.
Yeah.
That's what's so frustrating about this.
It's very frustrating. Yeah. It's hard to look that stuff up. I've tried so many times in the past, and it takes me a few minutes just to get to the right page, mm-hmm. let alone figure out what they're talking about. Ernst, she was lovely. Sanctuary cities play a role in harboring drugs, etc. This is from Empty Wheel. Bar, hydraulic effect that draws people into U.S. Things like sanctuary cities where they feel they'll be able to hide. It's irresponsible. And then she says, Empty Wheel says, no, it's irresponsible. Speaking on issues you don't understand again.
Right. And sorry, somebody in the chat room just Speedbird. Today's the 15th, not the 14th. So they don't even have any votes from today posted yet.
Oh, okay.
At house.gov. Yeah.
Maybe somebody will pop in on Twitter with something that we can.
Yep. Yep.
Mark Murray from NBC, who isn't allowed to say the word racist, apparently.
I guess.
He said, Klobuchar, this is what you were saying, asks Barr what message he would send to DOJ workers who have been furloughed or aren't getting paid due to the shutdown. Barr's answer, I would like to see a deal reached whereby Congress recognizes that it's imperative to have border security.
Okay.
God. It's the same old, same old. This is from Chris Geidner, a thinly veiled question by Klobuchar about whether Trump working on the misleading Trump Tower statement would be obstruction of justice. Barr only says, I'd have to know the specifics. I don't get specifics, see. I just have to know them. That's basically what he's saying.
Okay.
Then back to Hegemami.
Yes.
Klobuchar pivots to secure elections and backup paper ballots, asks Barr if they are a good idea. I don't know what is a good idea or a bad idea right now, Barr says, but Ernst's lockup illegals bill was totally great, remember? So he does know what's good and bad. He just knows what he won't answer.
Well, of course. Of course.
Isn't that nice? And she goes on to say, now on to the Free Press and asks Barr if the Justice Department will jail reporters for doing their jobs. This is what you were saying. Barr gives a long pause before answering that he can conceive of situations where prosecuting the press might be warranted. And then she has a little skull and crossbones after that.
Wow.
Then Elie Mystal, he's terrific.
He's He's very funny.
Yeah. Smart guy. And he says, okay, this guy's pissing me off right now. Since Barr won't commit to following ethics advice, Amy Klobuchar asks what he thinks about Whitaker's decision to ignore ethics advice. And Barr pretends he doesn't know what the Whitaker situation is about. Ooh. And then he says Barr's acting like he hasn't read a newspaper since 2004.
He hasn't.
Oh, my God. Amy, and this is still Ellie. Amy Klobuchar asks if DOJ will jail reporters for doing their job. It's a freaking softball. The only right answer is no.
Right.
Instead, Barr says there might be a situation where a reporter has run through a red flag. And then he says, how in the hell are we appointing AGs who can't commit to not, he's in caps, to not jailing reporters, ? 1,000 times. How is that now one option among many?
Oh,
thank
my
you.
God. I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Empty Wheel, Barr. I believe in such a...
The vote against, by the way, the vote against going the censure or whatever it was for King was Bobby something voting against because the measure doesn't go far enough.
Oh,
so whoever voted against it, just it wasn't tough enough, I guess.
Right. Knowing that everybody else would be voting for it. So,
yeah.
So she's saying, Barr, I believe in separation of church and state, but believe we should not use government powers to suppress traditional religious values. Uh-oh. I believe in separation of church and state, but ... That's all we needed to know right there. All we needed to hear from him. I believe in separation of church and state, but that tells you everything.
Yep.
He doesn't believe in separation of church and state. Ari Melber said, Barr says he will not commit to deferring to all of Mueller's judgments in the Mueller probe. Oh, good. That's great. Hegemami says, Blumenthal wants a commitment that Barr wouldn't permit editing or changes made to the Mueller report before presenting an AG report to Congress. Barr is hedging here. He says he want, and this is me now, he said he wanted accurate info out to the public, but who determines what is accurate?
Right.
That's the thing.
Right. Well, yeah.
I'm getting through these. I'm getting through these. I only have a few more left.
Okay.
And we can go to yesterday.
Okay.
Hegemami says, Barr says he wouldn't allow a U.S. attorney to be fired to stop an investigation, but then he says the president can fire U.S. attorneys.
Yes, he said they can. Well, they can. I mean, they do. They have.
Right.
It's just,
But he says he wouldn't allow it. So,
yeah, sure. You know. I believe that.
Yeah. Walter Schaub. Mm-hmm. Used to be with the Office of Ethics. He said, Barr just refused to give Blumenthal a straight answer as to whether he will let Mueller and the U.S. attorneys define the scope of their investigations. This is with little red alarm emojis up. He says that he will follow the rules, but he will not, quote, surrender his authority to oversee their work. Another
the
little
does
red
that
alarm.
Mean? I don't even know
it
what
means
that means.
He's full of shit is what it means. Okay. It means he's going to do what he wants to do.
Yep.
And Mueller's screwed. That's what it means. And then Empty Wheel saying, Barr is dodging wildly on Roe v. Wade, but says he'd enforce Clinic Access Protection Act.
Oh, my God.
And I think I have one more on this. Yeah. Cynthia Oxney said, and she's a legal analyst, and she used to work, she got... referred to, she was hired by it. She worked with Barr. I can't remember her connection now, but she thinks he's a sort of stand up guy in certain ways, but she does worry about a lot of things that he's saying. So she's saying like, it's kind of a relief that he's the one versus somebody else, but that's what she's saying. She's basically also saying, not basically, she came out and said, he's going to be confirmed. We have to deal with it.
Right. Well, he is because the Republicans have enough votes.
Right. Anyway, she said, Rutrow, Barr backing away from telling us the whole truth about Mueller report, now calling it the AG's report. Bad sign.
Saw that.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is from Cheryl in Eiffel. This is Chris Geithner. Oh, she's talking about Chris Geithner's tweet. Shocking. Quote, overall, Barr says, he stands by the idea that the criminal justice system treats black and white people similarly overall.
What?
And then Cheryl and Eiffel said, this is disqualifying, period.
Oh, my God. Yes. There's a lot
there's
that's
so many
disqualifying today, it seems.
Yeah. A number of them. Schooley says, if I disagree with them, is a good quote, if I disagree with them, unquote, is a good reason to ignore ethics recommendations, certainly the Trump approach. Yeah. If I disagree with him, I can ignore the ethics recommendations. That's what he said. And Schooley is saying, yeah, that's the Trump approach. And finally, my last one, 8 Barr takeaways again from Aaron Blake from The Washington Post. 1, no recusal commitment, even to abide by advice. 2, no witch hunt. 3, parts of Mueller may not be releasable. 4, I will not be bullied. 5, no firing Mueller without cause. 6, probing that guy's name, Strzok, Strzok.
Yep.
7, may jail journalists. And 8, won't target weed. Those were his takeaways. Oh, I did it. I got through today's. I didn't think I would.
You did. Okay. Well, and thank you for doing that because, again, I couldn't sit and watch it.
Yeah. Oh, I totally understand that. I did what I could. I had to take a hammy for a walk, so I did miss some of it. And then there's still things going on, so... That's up to about 11:30.
Yeah, in fact, what's his name? Ben Sass is questioning him now, in case you were curious.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't like him.
No, I don't either.
Oh, somebody's, who was it that said, oh no, that wasn't him. There was a new guy somebody said was like the new Tom Cotton. What's the guy, Hawley? Is that his name?
Oh, he's the one who beat Claire McCaskill.
Yeah, he's like, she said he, I think it was Hegemami said he's like the new Tom Cotton. Oh.
Why, Tom Cotton's still there.
Well, that's what he said. She said. Yeah. Any hoosies from yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Trump tweeted that he was going to a farm convention in Nashville, Tennessee. Love our farmers. Love Tennessee. But The Hill says he's going to New Orleans today, not Nashville.
Yeah, he was in it was yesterday. And I'm sure, you know, the Louisiana people love the fact that Trump loves Tennessee. He's such a fucking idiot. Have I said that lately?
Oh, you should say it again.
He's a fucking idiot.
Thank you. Mm. Reuters said Pompeo said Saudis assured me of accountability for the Khashoggi murder. And I said OJ is also looking for the real
right.
killers.
Right. Well, so that picture or the video of Pompeo and Mr. BS walking and laughing and yucking it up. I guess they were talking about something else then.
Yeah, they were laughing. I was telling them the joke about the guy with the bone saw. And I had, the three guys walked to a bar tell it again. And, oh, yeah. The guy with the bone saw, the thugs and a journalist walk into a bar. I did that one. Mark Lynch, a poli sci professor, referring to that news photo.
Exactly.
Said, Pompeo chuckling with MBS to convey his deep concern about the Khashoggi murder, Yemen, and imprisoned and tortured Saudi women activists. Swagger.
Yeah, it was such a telling picture. You know how they often say a picture is worth 10,000 words? Yeah. That one certainly was.
They might as well be holding hands.
Yeah.
Ben Rhodes added his two cents. He said, Trump and Pompeo are so weak that they have made us the junior partner to someone who ordered a journalist murdered a few months ago.
That is true.
And that's true.
That is true.
That's true.
Yep.
Greg Sargent, he said, in light of blockbuster revelations about Trump and Russia, it's time to intensify scrutiny of McConnell's role. Thank you. One, he refused a united front against Russian interference. Two, he scuttled efforts to protect Mueller. And three, he won't hold votes to reopen government. Again today, by the way.
Wow. You know, this whole thing, Trump, I got it more and more reckless with each passing day. I mean, 800,000 people now are without a paycheck, struggling to make ends meet. It's just, it's unconscionable what this man is doing. And he doesn't give a damn. He does not care.
He doesn't care, and he doesn't know how to relate at all. He doesn't, it's like it doesn't exist in his head. Oh, the people out there, they'll get paid eventually. It's okay.
Yeah,
they're going to get
by. Ask daddy for money.
Yeah. They'll ask daddy.
Daddy. Daddy.
Yep.
I want money.
David Neer of Daily Kos said, so Rand Paul is headed to Canada for hernia surgery. Of course, like every Republican in Congress, he trashed Canadian healthcare.
Okay.
Isn't that typical?
Yep.
Abby Phillip of CNN said, Trump is very up on the details of Jeff Bezos's divorce. But when asked about Steve King's white supremacist comments, he said, I haven't been following it.
Right. Sure.
God, just an idiot. Aaron Rupar of Vox said, Trump says he plans to serve the Clemson national champion football team McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King with some pizza when they visit the White House tonight.
And he did.
And he said, I would think that's their favorite food. And then he follows up with, LOL, I miss that Trump actually said Burger King's, not Burger King.
First of all, on Jeopardy, that would make you lose the point, just saying. Yes. And secondly, he actually served them. And then he lied about how many burgers he ordered and had to say, I paid for it. I paid for it. Fuck you.
Oh, God. He could also pay for his Trump steaks, but oh, wait. Tom Namaco of BuzzFeed said, Trump's pick for powerful federal judgeship and reported U.S. Supreme Court contender wrote a string of op-eds in college and just after she graduated, at times using inflammatory language to discuss race, date rape, and LGBT rights. And here's a little excerpt from the article. Rao, is nominated for Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's former seat on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit.
Yep.
She described race as, quote, a hot money-making issue, affirmative action as the, quote, anointed dragon of liberal excess, welfare as being for, quote, for the indigent and lazy, and LGBT issues as part of, quote, trendy political movements. On date rape, she wrote that if a woman, quote, drinks to the point where she can no longer choose, well, getting to that point was part of her choice.
Oh, my God.
Unquote.
Oh, my God.
This is who he wants.
Yep.
I want to throw up.
Okay,
Daniel Dale has a little run going here.
Uh-huh.
One. Trump to the American Farm Bureau Convention on Senator John Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, this is a man who was totally brilliant. I don't know if you know what this means. Oxford. He went to Oxford. I'm very much into the world of schools. Oxford. You have to be very, very smart to go to Oxford.
And note that Donald Trump didn't go to Oxford.
The second thing he said, this is live tweeting. He said, Trump asks everyone to sit down rather than stand. He explains that this way, they can give him standing ovations when they want, whereas if they're already standing, the media will say he didn't get any standing ovations. Quote, it's probably better for me, he says.
Yeah. Great.
This is the president of the United... Oh, God. The last thing he said, Trump lies that he had 87% approval in Europe when he came in, but then got tough on Europe and plummeted. Obama was in the 80s. Obama was in the 80s.
Yes.
Trump was never.
No.
And he is now at 10% and below in various countries.
Yep.
Trump tweeted on December 24th, 2018, America is respected again. He's at 10%.
America is laughed at all over this world because of that ignoramus, that dotard, that bumbling fool who should be in an old age home somewhere instead of in the Oval Office. He should just be sitting playing with himself because that's all he's good for.
I think it's probably what maybe that's what the long tie
that's
is.
That's what the executive time is for.
Oh, forget. No, not time. Tie.
Oh, executive tie. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it covers his actions. So Jennifer Bendry of Huffington Post said, Representative Tim Ryan just introduced a resolution to censure Representative Steve King, which we already talked about, but it just says, whereas Representative King's comments legitimize white supremacy and white nationalism as acceptable in today's society. And then there's a screen grab of the resolution, and part of it says, whereas Representative King's comments reflect negatively on the House of Representatives, now therefore be it, But this is like, you know, he's been doing this for years. That's the thing.
Yep.
This
but,
isn't
but
new.
Now he's officially censured. Oh, boy. So it took what? It took the Democrats gaining back control of the House for the Republicans to finally censure one of their own. One of the most despicable, reprehensible, racist pigs in their caucus.
Exactly. And it's something that, I mean, think back to, you know, the cantaloupe calves comments.
Yep.
And
oh, yeah.
There were so many. Oh, yeah. And so they're just getting around to it. So, you know, better late than never, but still, this is insane that he's even, he should have been kicked out of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Dorning of Bloomberg. God. Ivanka Trump to help pick World Bank president, but isn't a contender.
Well, that's better than the news that was floating around for a couple of days that she was a contender.
I know, Daddy.
I want to run the World Bank, Daddy.
But you said no to me, Daddy. You don't say no to me, Daddy. Daddy.
Come over here and let me grab your pussy.
Oh, Daddy, not now. There's cameras, Daddy. Daddy, there's cameras. They're Russian cameras, but still, they're cameras. And those are the ones that usually reveal our secrets. The Russians.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Yep.
Oh, my God. These people. It's hard to conceive that we're living through this. I mean, maybe not for long, but I mean, that these things are actually happening. Oh, boy. Stephen Weber said, looking forward to the crisis, which will eclipse the crisis, which was distracting from the crisis.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Yep.
He's a funny guy. Headline, McConnell said, Representative King's statements are unwelcome and unworthy of his elected position. If he doesn't understand why, quote, white supremacy is offensive, he should find another line of work. And then the managing editor of Lawfare blog with an unpronounceable name, and so I didn't write it down, he said, just wait until McConnell finds out who the president is.
Okay.
And my last one of the day, I can't believe I got through.
I've just been hanging here.
Wow. Yeah. You know, you've been
keeping my
really letting
shit.
Me rush through these. Thank you for that. Mark Harris, who's an author and a journalist, he said, if you want Trump to incriminate himself, just ask him, if you were a Russian asset, would you be the best Russian asset? And let him talk.
Oh, I was going to say I would love to hear that, but on second thought, no, I wouldn't. I want to hear. And look, I've come around to. I used to be of the mind that on this show, Trump talks and he makes news. Mostly, it's really about the asinine things that come out of his mouth. But I thought that I had to include those clips, and I've grown more and more like the listeners who I see in the chat room who all, you know, generally group puke when I play sound of Trump's voice. And I've basically come to that point. So where possible, if there's a transcript instead of playing the audio, I'll do my best imitation of Trump and read it instead of making you listen to his actual voice.
It's easier to take. It's hard enough to, you know, to see the words, but to hear them from him. You know, I mean, it's hard enough hearing
everything
from
about
you
him because... is just sickening. And you know, just when I think, all right, I'll be able to get through this, he does something ridiculous, like this shutdown. I'm sorry, this shutdown is inhumane. It's unconscionable. It's sickening. It's anti-American. I mean, that's treasonous.
That's the thing. He revels in the fact that it's anti-American. His whole thing is, I mean, when people say this is unprecedented and he's like a bull in a china shop and whatever else, you know, he's like a rebel, you know, he loves hearing that. They're saying it not as a compliment, but I wish they would stop because that encourages him.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages him. He likes that he's that way.
Right.
He likes that he's causing the conversation to go in that direction.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Empty Wheel is still going on. And she said Barr denying he claimed that walls were important for drugs. He's wrong. Durbin now pointing out the vast majority, 80-90% of drugs come through the ports of entry. So at least two senators are appalled by Epstein deal. Does that mean they could force Alex Acosta's ouster? I'm just reading random tweets from her. She's still live tweeting this.
Wow. Well, she's
MSNBC
relentless.
Isn't.
She's relentless.
Sorry.
I said she's relentless. I got to tell you, last night turned on the TV and one guy caught my ear, and I think he was on with Rachel Maddow. And he was a guy named David Loffman, who I had never heard of before.
Yes.
But he's the former chief of the Department of Justice's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section. And I just have to play what he said, because from what he said, we should be out in the streets right now demanding to overthrow this government. Here's basically what he said.
Before you play he has gravitas.
Yes.
The guy has a long history of, you know, in law and in government.
Oh, yeah.
So take what he says seriously, because this guy, he's very careful about how he says things.
Yep. So here's what he said.
Okay, go for it.
I think there's a culmination of things we can point to in the public record now. The unbelievable acquiescence to Vladimir Putin and Helsinki that was positively shocking to those of us who've worked in national security all of our lives. All the many things that you've read about in the charging documents of people associated with the president, all those to me point to a reasonable inference that, and it's a painful, anguishing thing to acknowledge, that the president of the United States is a clear and present danger
to the
national security of the United States.
To the national
and that
security.
Is why, in my own small way, and I'm just one voice among many, I felt the need to issue a kind of small call to action in the tweet that I issued last night, hoping that it will impel members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, members of this administration, and American citizens in their own communities who can mobilize and express their views to bring about additional accountability for this administration in matters that are detrimental to our country's interests.
So here's this guy, a big shot, former big shot at the DOJ, somebody who's not bogged down with partisan prejudices, who basically did say, in no uncertain terms, this president is a clear and present danger to the future of this country.
Yes. And I'm afraid not enough people got wind of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are pretty strong words.
Yeah. I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, I've been scared. I've been scared since November 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, with that, we are out of time. Thank you for getting me through today. It's not been a good day for me. So, we continue. Tomorrow, Dennis Campbell's going to join us at the beginning of the show to tell us what today's no vote on Brexit means, what happens next. And then we're going to speak with Frederick Carlson. Tomorrow is Religious Freedom Day, but that means something different to the religious nuts than it does to the rest of us law-abiding people who believe in the separation of church and state. So we'll find out what that's all about, too. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and, of course, at NicoleSandler.com, at laffiesplace.com or something like that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. All right. And you, we'll be back here tomorrow, rain or shine, with funny or not. You know, we'll do our best to stay upright at the very least. All right. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Laffy. What I tell myself every day, keep your head up. Things have got to get better, right? Can't get a whole lot worse. Thanks again, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.